Well, friends, welcome back to the Space for Faith podcast. My name's Mike Goldsworthy, and it is good to have you with us today. I'm really grateful that you're here, and I'm excited to get to talk about some things that I have been holding in for a bit. I have been doing some work and some planning and some behind the scenes arranging so that I could feel comfortable sort of putting this out there about what we're going to be doing here on the podcast over the next several weeks. Actually, it'll end up being several months. It's what we're going to be doing here until early June. So we're going to do, I haven't done this before, like a series on the podcast where we're actually going to spend, I think it's like 13 episodes. It may end up being a little bit longer than that. We'll see how it all goes, but we're going to spend about 13 episodes on one idea, on one sort of like thing, and it will not be boring in that way. And actually, I failed to, in thinking about this, we have done a series on this, on something before. It's actually how I started the podcast. The whole podcast started of me walking through Job. And in the midst of the early days of the COVID pandemic shutdowns, going to Job, and I'd never taught through it before, and thinking, like, asking questions of this ancient book of, like, what does it mean for us today? What's it saying to us today? And so that's kind of how we started this podcast, but I don't think I've really done a series since then. So let me give you a little bit of backdrop before I tell you what we're doing. A few things kind of inspired this. The first was, like, I have loved the conversations that we've had on here, like some really meaningful people, some really meaningful conversations, some things that have stretched me and challenged me, some folks I would have never gotten to interact with otherwise. Like, it's been really, really beautiful. But I had for a little while been wanting to do something a bit different. It had started to me to start to feel a little bit static and stale, and kind of like, I just didn't want to be putting out more noise. And I was trying to figure out, well, what then is the thing that I want to put out here? And as I do less work in the church and more of my work outside of the church in this season, I talked a bit about that on the last episode. That for me means I want to be even more intentional about what I give my time and my energy to in the church space. I want to be able to be more generous, and I want to be able to be more selective in the way that I engage in the church space, which includes this particular podcast. And so was just kind of like stirred by, like, gosh, I've loved what we've gotten to do here. I've loved the conversations. I've loved the guests. I've loved your feedback. All of that's been really wonderful, but just kind of the sense, like, I think like there's another thing to do. Maybe we'll go back to what we were doing before, but for a little while at least, there's something else. So that's the first piece. Second piece was a podcast that I listened to pretty religiously for a while it was going, called The West Wing Weekly. The West Wing was just one of my all-time favorite TV shows. And this podcast came out. It was two guys putting it on. One of them had been a part of the cast for several of the seasons of The West Wing. One of them was just a West Wing aficionado. And every week they would watch an episode of The West Wing. And then they would get on and they would hit record and they would talk about that episode. They would have guests on, sometimes writers, directors, actors, sometimes people who were outside of the production of the show, but like could give insight into something that was going on there, maybe politically, geopolitically, that could just like give some like more ways to sort of like think about what was going on there. And I loved that. I was sad when it ended because I got to the end of the thing. In fact, a friend and I went to the final recording of it that they did up in LA. And so there was something about that. There was something about like the show that I had loved and kind of getting to relive it. You could rewatch the episodes with them. You didn't need to, and you could still follow along. And then feeling like I was invited into a conversation with other people about something that had been really meaningful to me, and getting to hear multiple perspectives and think about it in other ways. So we've got one piece is I'd been feeling like something new. Then there's this West Wing, sort of West Wing weekly podcast thing that had been kind of like intriguing to me. third piece of the puzzle for me was there's this book that had been really influential for me. And in a lot of ways, I would say like this book changed my life. The first time that I read it, it took me though 18 months to get through it. I'll talk more in later weeks about that. I'll pop in on that at different times. But like, I knew that there was something significant there, but like the way that the author writes, it took some getting used to for me. And honestly, like probably some of what he was writing was beyond what I was able to like fully comprehend at the time. And so I had to trudge through it. It was difficult for me to get through, but when I got through it, it did something really significant and dramatic in me. It affected the way I viewed faith. It affected the way I viewed the church. It affected what I felt like I meant to follow Jesus. It affected the way that I engaged the scriptures. Like, I have had a lot of times where I don't know where I fit in the church world in a lot of different ways. And that means a whole lot of different things for me. And for some of you, like that's the reason that we've gotten connected. We've connected because you've had that same sense, at least in the last few years, like you hadn't known where you fit in the church world. And maybe we connected around like the post-evangelical work, things like that, where it's like, okay, I haven't known where I fit, but like I feel resonance with some of the things that you're talking about here, some of the people that are coming on here and the work that they're doing and all of that. And so maybe like that's how we've connected. But for me, this wasn't like a new experience. It's always been true for me in some way. And it's even always been true for me, like theologically in a lot of ways, as I've done a lot of reflection. I realize I've often felt like a mutt theologically, that I don't really fit in any particular camp or any particular box or any particular stream. I have kind of like, there's been a lot of things that have shaped the way that I think about faith and life and the big questions of life. But I always thought I'm supposed to fit into a particular stream or into a particular box or like into this particular camp. I need to have a ism. Are you this ism or that ism? Like which one do you fit into, that it's this or it's that? You think about these things in these sort of like binary ways. And that had been my experience for a lot of time, was that it was like I thought I was supposed to. And so sometimes I would even say that I did, when even like I didn't fully feel like I fit somewhere. And then I read this book, and this book allowed me the freedom to feel more expansive in my understanding of faith and in the Christian faith. And at the same time, while it like let me feel more expansive in it, it also made me feel more grounded. It made me want to like plumb the depths of the Christian faith in a way that I hadn't before, and maybe even hadn't wanted to before. And so it had this like dual effect on me, where it felt like my roots were growing deeper, and at the same time, my worldview was growing wider and bigger and more expansive. I was talking to one of my friends recently about this book and about the effect that it had on me. And this friend said to me, he said, after I read this, he said, I became born again. This book is what saved my faith. And so this book ended up, when it first was published, it won all kinds of awards. It was has been said by notable people and notable publications that it's going to be seen and is already being seen as one of the classics, alongside works from like Thomas A. Kempis or Teresa of Avila, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Like, it's going to be seen as a classic work. And so for quite a while, this book had been so meaningful to me that I would revisit the book every 18 months, every 2 years, something like that, and I would just reread it. And sometimes I would kind of like skim it in the way I'd reread it, and sometimes I'd take my time through it. And, you know, probably then as a result ended up rereading it 5 or 6 times. And recently I was realizing, gosh, I haven't read this in a while and I want to reengage it. I haven't read it at least since pre-pandemic. And I bet it's been, 5 years or so since I've read it, which is the longest that I've gone. And I wanted to figure out, like, how can I reengage in this in a way that's meaningful for me and helpful for me? How could I create some space to see it, even like how it might be like hitting me differently in this season? Like, I'm a different person in the way, like, and I'd be approaching it in a different sort of space then. It was originally published 26 years ago, 1998. And so I was even kind of curious, like, how does it still hold up? Will I interact with it differently because I'm approaching it differently than I did before? I had all these like questions, and I thought, I bet other people might be interested in this as well. The book, by the way, is called The Divine Conspiracy by a guy who is no longer with us, passed away several years ago, named Dallas Willard. Dallas was obviously an author. He was a theologian, but really vocationally, he was a philosopher. Taught philosophy at USC. Even for a period of time, he was the head of the philosophy department at USC. Just this like massive, massive thinker, but who had this like rich life with the divine in a way that like he was able to translate like the richness of his thought life, the richness of his lived, participated in life in a way to like make it tangible and accessible for us. So here's what we're going to do. I'm calling it the Divine Conspiracy Project. And we're just going to walk through the book. We're going to look at the book a chapter a week. We're going to start April 4th, which is the week after Easter. It's, I think, I'm shooting for putting out the first one, the first chapter. We'll walk through that. I'm shooting for the Thursday after Easter. And so in the church calendar of Eastertide, we could spend our time together working through this book. And most weeks, I'm going to have a guest on here with me. It's not going to be me as a talking head talking through the book, but instead it's going to be two talking heads at least. And somebody to interact with that chapter with me. And kind of like my criteria for who's going to be on here is it's somebody who's been significantly affected by Willard's work, and most specifically has been significantly affected by the Divine Conspiracy. And we're not going to dissect the chapter. We're not trying to be like academics who are trying to pick it apart. I have some interesting academic books that like get into Willard's theology and the way that he thought about things. And like, that's fascinating. And maybe some of that stuff will work its way in. My guess is it will, just because of some of the folks that I've got lined up to have on here. But really what we're going to do is we're going to talk about some of the major themes from the chapter, the things that emerged there. We're going to talk about like how it affected us when we first read it. How is it still affecting us? How are we thinking about it now? And we're going to work through that. And so I've got some, like, I'm really stoked about the people who I've asked to be a part of it so far, who have said yes. Everybody I've asked has said yes. And so we're going to have Jan Johnson on. Jan's going to be here actually 2 weeks after this. I'll talk a little bit more about what we're going to do with Jan in a couple of weeks. But Jan helped write the study guide to the Divine Conspiracy. She's a spiritual director. She's a professor. Jan is really, really phenomenal. And I'm so glad she's going to give us like an overview of the book and of Willard and like why the book matters, why Willard matters, like what are some of the major things that are happening in the book. And so that's going to be in a couple of weeks. In 2 weeks from now, we're going to hear from Jan. And folks like a friend of the podcast, I don't know if I've ever said that before, but Brian Zond, who's been with us. BZ is great, and Willard had a radical effect on him. Divine Conspiracy had a radical effect on him. So I can't wait to talk to BZ. Sean Palmer, friend, he'll be a third time guest on here. John Ortberg, who was mentored by Dallas. And John has been one of my mentors, and I'm so excited for, I've been looking for a reason to have John on here. And so like, it'll be so fun to have John on here. Jason Miller has been on a few times. Actually, that'll be his third time with us. And we recently like, talked about a book that he had that came out where he worked through the Beatitudes. And so he's going to help us interact with. Dallas does a chapter on the Beatitudes, and so we're going to work through that with Jason, some other folks. It's going to be a lot of fun. I think it's going to be really special, and it's going to be really special to reflect on Willard. It's going to be really special to kind of like work through the book. I think there's going to be like sort of several things happening here, and I would love for you to participate in this with us. So maybe it'll look like a few different things, but at least at the outset, it could look like you're reading along with us. I'm going to post a link to the book in the show notes if you don't have it, and so you can grab it there. I'm also going to put up a page on my website. I think that it will be up by the time that this posts. It'll be at mikegoldsworthy.com/divineconspiracy. And my website will probably feel weird to those of you who know me for church work, because it's really oriented towards my work outside of the church, which is really a lot of executive coaching and consulting. But we're going to make mikegoldsworthy.com/divineconspiracy just some resources for this series, for the Divine Conspiracy Project. And there'll be a reading plan that you can download. Hopefully, again, that'll be up by the time that this is posted. If not, it'll be up there soon. And so maybe like you've read it before and you're like me, you just want to revisit it. And maybe like you'll read along with us, or you'll like skim it with us, or in some sort of way that you'll just kind of like engage with us, that you've read it before and you want to re-engage it. Maybe you've never read it, but you've heard the book mentioned before. I've talked to several people as I've kind of like put, like just tested the idea to see like, does this have any traction? And I've had several people tell me, I've been wanting to read that for a long time. I've heard all these people I really respect talk about that book, and I've never read it. And this will give me a good excuse to read it. And so maybe this will give you the reason you've wanted to read it before. Or maybe you don't know anything about it, but you've wanted to do some like intentional reading this year that stretches how you think about faith. Maybe that gives you some more depth in some ways that, maybe like you want to engage in something in that sort of way that would, in the way that I described what it did for me, that would maybe like make your roots go down deeper, but would also like give you more expansiveness. And so I would encourage you, like, pick up this book, The Divine Conspiracy by Dallas Willard. Again, link in the show notes. But also feel free to not read along. Feel free to just listen. Feel free to, like, if you are not a part of what we are doing here, if you're not reading, like, please listen along. I think you're going to be able to get stuff out of it. I think you're going to be able to follow along. I think even if you don't read, like, you're going to be able to track just fine. I do always think that you're going to be able to get more out of something if you are working through it yourself and thinking about it yourself, rather than just hearing what we have to say about it. And what happens then is that if you are thinking about it on your own, then this podcast is just like another partner in the conversation. We're just another conversation partner. But there's absolutely no shame if you don't read. There's no shame if you start reading and you don't keep up. There's no shame if you read some and end up skipping around, and whatever, in whatever way you want to engage. I just think, there's going to be, I haven't recorded any of these yet. My first one that I'm going to record, I'm recording this one in January. So like a little bit before we're posting it, just because I've got stuff on the calendar and you know how things work, right? That like I've just needed to have a time to get this out. And so I haven't recorded any of them yet. So I don't know what the conversations are going to be like, but I have a feeling that they're going to be really, really special. So I think like even if you just follow along, even if you just listen along, it's going to be like really special. So a few like practical things. We are dropping this episode early, a month before we're getting into the first chapter. So the reason we're doing that is because if you want to grab the book, you've got some time. If you want to like start reading a little ahead of time, because you'll get the book and then you'll look at it and you'll be like, oh, that's pretty thick. And then you'll open it up and you'll be like, oh, the writing's kind of little. And then you'll start reading it and you'll be like, what is going on here? And maybe that will be the case for some of you. Many of you are much smarter than me, and you will have no issues at all. But for some of you, maybe it will be helpful to get a little bit head start on it. So I wanted to get this out early to you so you'd have some time for that. So in a month, we're going to get into the first chapter, the week after Easter. In 2 weeks, though, you're going to get to hear from Jan Johnson, and we'll do a bit of an overview of the book with Jan. So that's in 2 weeks. And then 2 weeks after that, we'll start posting weekly. So this is posting now, then a month before we start reading. In 2 weeks, Jan Johnson's going to be on. We're going to talk about the book. We're going to talk about Dallas. We're going to talk about why it matters, all that. Then after that, the week after Easter, we're going to start an episode a week is the goal, where we work through a chapter a week. And so, that's a bit of what we've got going on. Again, I think it's going to be really special. And I was realizing, like, I do want to make sure to give a shout out to those of you who support me financially. I'm so grateful for you doing that. And I wanted to make sure that you know that what you're doing helps me to be able to offer stuff like this for the church. I don't get paid for this podcast. I don't get paid for the time, the resources that it takes to do this, the equipment, the things online, the things like all the costs that are involved in this. I don't get paid for any of that. And so those of you who help support me financially, like some of what you are doing helps me to offer stuff like this for the church. By the way, what it also does is it allows me to be able to be more generous when I'm working with churches that aren't able to fully afford my services. And so I've been able to do work with churches where I let them know what it costs to bring me in for something. They're like, we can't afford that. And I'm like, great, I can do it for less because I want to serve you. There's churches where I can be generous and say, like, I want to be able to come alongside you and I want to be able to help you. And the reason I can say that to them is because some of you are helping to support me and gives me the space to do that. So special shout out to those of you who helped that happen. And in fact, I'll even put some info in the show notes if any of you would like to help me continue to be able to put out works like this, like the podcast and the stuff that we're doing on here, and to serve churches who can't afford it. But the way that I wanted to end this, our time here today, was I wanted to end by reading a portion of the foreword that was written by Richard Foster. Richard Foster, well, he and Dallas had a friendship, and Dallas actually went to Richard's church for a period of time. Richard was a pastor. And then Richard wrote what he got most known for is a book that he wrote called Celebration of Discipline, that became an instant sort of like classic around spiritual formation and spiritual disciplines. And Richard wrote the foreword to Divine Conspiracy. And I think it encaptures a bit of why this book matters. And again, in 2 weeks with Jan, we're going to talk a bit more about who Dallas was. We're going to talk a bit about why the Divine Conspiracy matters. But I thought that reading a little bit of Richard Foster's foreword in this book will give a bit of the picture of its significance for those of you who don't know about it. So this is from Richard Foster. He wrote, "The Divine Conspiracy is the book I've been searching for all my life. Like Michelangelo's Sistine Ceiling, it's a masterpiece and a wonder. And like those famous frescoes, it presents God as real and present and ever reaching out to all humanity. I'm struck by many things in the Divine Conspiracy. Let me mention a few. First, I'm struck by the comprehensive nature of this book. It gives me a Weltanschauung. I have no idea how to say it. It is some German word which smart people use, but he defines it as a worldview. It gives me a worldview. It provides me with the conceptual philosophy for understanding the meaning and purpose of human existence. It shows me how to make sense out of the whole of the biblical record. It helps me to see that the teachings of Jesus are intelligent and vital and intently practical. The breadth of the issues covered is astonishing. From the soul's redemption and justification to discipleship and our growth in grace, to death and the state of our existence in heaven. The middle chapters rightly give concentrated attention to Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, but Willard does this even in such a way that he actually teaches us the whole Bible, indeed the whole of our life before God. Then too, his analysis of the contemporary scene is quite remarkable and comprehensive. Incisively, he uncovers the pretense of the various theories, facts, and techniques of contemporary secular materialism, showing that they have not the least logical bearing upon the ultimate issues of existence and life. Nor does the contemporary religious scene escape his incisive eye. In perhaps the most telling phrase of the book, he reveals the various theologies of sin management that plague churches today, both conservative and liberal. This is a book that opens me to the big picture." And I'll skip over a bunch, and then here's how he ends his foreword. He says, "I would place the Divine Conspiracy in rare company indeed, alongside the writings of Dietrich Bonhoeffer and John Wesley, John Calvin and Martin Luther, Teresa of Avila and Hildegard of Bingen, and perhaps even Thomas Aquinas and Augustine of Hippo. If the Perugia tarries, this is a book for the next millennium." So there is some, I think, like pretty high praise, and just giving you like a little taste of how at least one person sees the significance of this book. So, friends, I'm really excited to do this with you. The Divine Conspiracy Project. We're going to work through the Divine Conspiracy. I hope that you'll pick up the book. I hope you'll, even if you don't end up reading the whole thing, I hope that you'll like just poke around in it and read some along with us. And I'm really excited. I think this is going to be really special and looking forward to doing this with you. Grace and peace to you, my friends.